Good afternoon, 4:30 and 61 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Davidson.
Who keeps the government from treading on you? The Attorney General does. If the General Assembly tried to ban a sect of Christianity, the AG is there to stop it.
Attorney General Andy Beshear today accuses Kentucky Republicans of a power grab for proposing a bill that would take away some of his authority.
A Lucasville man has been killed after his car crashed into a logging truck.
And President Trump may be coming to Kentucky this weekend.
In sports, the Boyd County girls play in first-round action of the state basketball tournament in Northern Kentucky tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Clear skies tonight, lows around 40 degrees, the complete forecast after this news.
A collision between a car and a logging truck in Scioto County today killed the driver of the auto. According to WSAZ, the accident happened about 9 a.m. on State Route 104 in Rush Township. The victim has been identified as 57-year-old Donald Keeney of Lucasville. Troopers from the Ohio Highway Patrol say Keeney's car crossed the center line and went beneath the truck. The vehicles then had to be pried apart. The crash caused the road to be closed for several hours. Police say the truck driver was taken to Southern Ohio Medical Center for treatment of minor injuries.
An Ashland cardiologist convicted last fall of charging patients for unnecessary procedures will be getting a new trial. WSAZ reports Dr. Richard E. Paulus of King's Daughters Medical Center was scheduled to be sentenced April 25th, but a motion for a new trial was granted after Paulus claimed prosecutors used misleading evidence and committed substantial legal errors. Paulus was accused of performing medically unnecessary heart procedures and falsifying health care records during a five-year period.
Attorney General Andy Beshear says a proposal by Republican Senate President Robert Stivers to give the governor sole authority to represent Kentucky in civil lawsuits, with some exceptions, is a power grab by the new Republican supermajority in Frankfort. The Democrat testified against the plan today before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Beshear says if the governor were granted such power, it would be more difficult for the AG to pursue lawbreakers, particularly if one of those offenders happened to be the governor. An analogy Beshear used to illustrate the point made Republican Committee Chairman Whitney Westerfield bristle.
If a bank robber is caught robbing a bank, instead of deciding, I'm going to stop violating the law and stop robbing banks, we'll just get rid of the police, and that will solve the whole issue. This would allow that bank robber to either get through robbing the bank and not have an action being brought against him or her, or to be able to determine on appeal if he continues to be
pursued. I'm going to stop you. With all due respect, General, quit referring to it as a criminal act. Not okay. Making the argument whether or not someone followed the law, the letter of the law in one regard is fine. But you've now two or three times referred to what the governor's done as a criminal act.
I've said violated and broke the law, which is the same.
And equated him with bank robbers.
Beshear has brought legal action against Republican Governor Matt Bevin three times since the AG took office in January 2016. The Democrat contends if Stivers' proposal becomes law, it'll be regarded as highly partisan and an attempt by the new Republican supermajority in Frankfort to consolidate power.
Kentucky's junior senator Rand Paul is proposing that Republicans unite and repeal the Affordable Care Act. Some GOP lawmakers think the sweeping federal health care reform bill approved in 2010 should not be gutted until they have an alternative plan in place. However, Paul thinks that's the wrong approach.
Let's vote on clean repeal. The only way I think this gets done is to separate the issues. Separate out clean repeal from replacement. Let's get it done. Repeal unites us, and I think we can get that done.
Then Paul says Congress can hold up or down votes on all the various replacement plans.
President Trump's counselor, Kellyanne Conway, says she understands where Republican Senator Rand Paul is coming from and hopes to reach a compromise. We get that story from Haley Hansen.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul is calling the GOP's plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act too similar to the original law. Trump counselor Kellyanne Conway is urging him and other conservatives against the new plan to have a little trust.
The most important thing for people to know, including our friends in Kentucky, is that you have the cover of presidential leadership on this.
Conway tells WHAS's Terry Miner she hopes Paul will take his concerns directly to the president to come to a compromise. I'm Haley Hansen.
The health savings accounts of Kentuckians would be off limits to creditors under a bill endorsed today by the House Banking and Insurance Committee. The measure is known as Senate Bill 62, and one of its co-sponsors is Democratic Senator Morgan McGarvey of Louisville.
We modeled this legislation in Texas, and it prohibits creditors from garnishing the money you have in your health savings account.
The legislation now heads to the House floor.
The Kentucky House passed a bill that sends a strong message to Planned Parenthood. Here again is Haley Hansen.
The Kentucky House approved a bill that would put Planned Parenthood at the end of the line for receiving federal family planning funds. Republicans say the bill is to punish the organization for providing abortions, even though Planned Parenthood officials say they no longer give abortions in the state. Even if the Senate and Governor Bevin both sign off on it, the bill would only take effect if Congress repeals federal regulations that ban states from prioritizing who gets federal money. I'm Haley Hansen.
Morehead State University President Wayne Andrews has told the House Appropriations and Revenue Committee he'd like to see some revisions to the performance-based funding model for higher education now before the Kentucky General Assembly. Andrews says he's in favor of the concept, but argues that smaller schools in economically distressed parts of the Commonwealth are facing a bigger challenge.
And it's challenged because the extractive industries that for generations have brought tremendous revenue into the Commonwealth are now in decline. And you know the story. That calculus for us is an impact on our enrollment. So at the present time, we're seeing declining enrollment in Eastern Kentucky's institutions, KCTCS, Eastern Kentucky University, Morehead as an example.
Dr. Andrews is calling for an amendment to the legislation that would give the Council on Post-Secondary Education some discretion to adjust the funding formula and provide additional money for schools in struggling regions.
Officials at Kentucky State University are gathering feedback from students, faculty, and other stakeholders before naming a new president at the school. Three finalists for the top job visited KSU's Frankfort campus between February 28th and March 2nd. They were interviewed by the Board of Regents and participated in forums where they answered questions from faculty, staff, students, and alumni. The school says in a statement that it is gathering feedback through March 9th from interested parties on the final candidates in an effort to be inclusive and transparent in the process to select a new leader. The three finalists for president are M. Christopher Brown of Southern University in Louisiana, Sad Sewell of Lincoln University in Missouri, and Oklahoma Supreme Court Justice Thomas Colbert.
The Board of Regents at Morehead State University could name a new school president tomorrow. The board has a personnel item on its agenda for a morning meeting scheduled at the Center for Health, Education, and Research. The lone finalist for the job is Dr. Jay Morgan. He's a former provost at Murray State University and currently works for Kentucky's Council on Post-Secondary Education. Morgan visited the Morehead campus this week and answered questions from staff and students. MSU's current president, Dr. Wayne Andrews, is retiring June 30th.
Kentucky lawmakers have agreed to encourage public school districts to begin the school year in late August. Senate Bill 50 cleared the State House of Representatives today by a vote of 77-18. It now heads to Republican Governor Matt Bevin's desk. The bill requires each school district to create a committee that would come up with options for the school calendar. The committee must include school officials, two parents, two teachers, and two community members from the local Chamber of Commerce or Tourism Commission. Lawmakers hope the panel would convince the local school board to adopt a calendar where school begins no earlier than the Monday closest to August 26th. The bill's sponsor is Republican Senator Damon Thayer. He says schools starting later in the year would help the state's tourism industry.
When Ironton City Council meets tomorrow night, it may approve layoffs in the fire department to eliminate a budget shortfall of almost $100,000. The city currently has 17 firefighters, but that number could be cut down to 14 to wipe out the deficit. Aaron Collins is one of those firefighters. He tells WSAZ such a reduction in force would be difficult.
When you lose one man, you lose a position to attack the fire quicker. With town this size and the houses this close, you know, like the fire we had the other night, you're asking three men to do an extra two-man, three-man job.
If city council were to improve the layoffs, they would go into effect in April.
State Senator Steve West says Kentuckians who purchase military surplus vehicles from the Department of Defense are having trouble obtaining licenses for them in the Commonwealth. The Republican, whose district includes Rowan County, is proposing legislation that would change that.
Senate Bill 176, all it does is set up a framework that allows that citizen who purchased these military surplus vehicles to acquire a certificate of title as long as that vehicle meets certain safety standards that are to be promulgated by the cabinet.
West is referring to the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. He says people who bought vehicles like Humvees are finding it difficult to get permission to drive them on the highway because the DOD has stamped them as being for off-road use only.
President Trump may be coming to Kentucky this weekend. Here's Will Clark.
A spokeswoman for the Louisville International Airport says they've been contacted about a Trump visit Saturday, but have no further details. A notice from the Federal Aviation Administration says restrictions will be in place Saturday, but says the full notice will be available to pilots later. The White House is pumping the brakes on the visit, with Press Secretary Sean Spicer and another press office aide declining to confirm the trip. The visit would be Trump's first to Louisville since he addressed the NRA convention last May as a candidate. I'm Will Clark.
A Kentucky man who told a judge to skip the lecture has been sentenced to 20 years in prison for scalping his girlfriend and ordering his pit bull to attack her. The Kentucky Inquirer reports 31-year-old Zachary Gross continued to maintain at sentencing today for his first-degree assault conviction that his dog Capone was responsible for the injuries to Marilyn Stanley. Gross told Boone County Circuit Judge Rick Brueggemann he feels horrible over what happened, but not responsible. I'm not asking for your mercy. Just give me the 20. I don't need a lecture, Gross said. Stanley said she needed a half dozen surgeries and suffered permanent nerve damage. A trauma surgeon testified at Gross's trial that cuts to her head were consistent with the use of a sharp knife.
Kentucky lawmakers have given final approval to a bill aimed at protecting landlords from liability if their tenants' dogs attack other people. The Senate sent the measure to Governor Matt Bevin on a 32-5 vote Monday evening. The measure cleared the House by a wide margin last month. The bill's supporters say it stems from a 2012 Kentucky Supreme Court decision that expanded the definition of a dog owner to include landlords in dog attack cases. As a result, landlords can be held liable if a tenant's dog attacks someone on the landlord's property. The bill's lead sponsor is Republican Representative Stan Lee of Lexington. Similar proposals died in recent legislative sessions. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight, clear skies with lows around 40 degrees. Thursday, sunny with highs around 68, wind gusts up to 10 miles an hour. Thursday night, clear skies, lows around 41. Friday, partly cloudy skies with a 10% chance of rain and highs around 45 degrees. Friday night, the 10% chance of rain stays with us with lows around 21 degrees. Saturday, cloudy skies with highs only reaching to about 33, and Sunday will be sunny with highs only reaching about 40 degrees. Temperatures for the listening region, it's currently 61 degrees in Ashland, 60 in Flemingsburg, 63 in Inez, 62 in Lexington, 61 in Winchester, and it is currently sitting at 61 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have you with us. on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, women across Ohio are marching for gender equality and to celebrate women's achievements. Mary Sherman has the story.
If workplaces are short-staffed today, it might be because people across the globe are taking a day to speak out about the plight of women and their need for equality. A Day Without Women is part of International Women's Day. Rallies, marches, protests, and special events are all being held to bring attention to issues such as gender equality, while also touting the social, economic, cultural, and political successes of women. Sandy Tice with Progress Ohio says women are being asked to skip work, shop only at women-owned businesses, and wear red today.
It's an opportunity for women to stand up for families across Ohio. Women represent more than half the population. We are primarily responsible for the caregiving in our families, and I think we need to make our voices louder and stronger.
Today's action will highlight the persistent challenges women often face, including lower wages, sexual harassment, and attacks on reproductive health care. Marches and rallies are scheduled across the state. In solidarity with the Day Without Women movement, Capital University in Columbus is holding a Day of Action teach-in. Tice says she'll join others there to discuss their concerns about the GOP plans to defund Planned Parenthood and repeal the Affordable Care Act. She contends women's health care would suffer as a result, which also affects infant health outcomes.
We know many things that can be done to curb the infant mortality rate, and prenatal care and proper spacing of your kids, which birth control helps that. Those are really important things that are now on the chopping block.
A Day Without Women stems from the women's marches held across the nation in January. Organizers say the events aren't only about women, as social justice and human rights issues will also be elevated. This is Mary Sherman, Ohio News Connection.
447, this is Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up in just about 13 minutes right here on WMKY. You will not have to wait that long for sports. Braxton has a check of the latest from the sports world right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures in historic downtown Maysville, Kentucky. Eat Gallery works with gold and silversmiths who specialize in creating wearable art jewelry. For the jewelry you no longer wear or heirlooms that need updating, Eat Gallery can create wearable pieces that will last generations. Open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. 16th Region Girls Champions Boyd County plays their opening round game of the Girls State Tournament today at Northern Kentucky University's BB&T Arena. The Lady Lions take on 27-6 Mercer County this evening at 6:30. Head coach Pete Fraley says it will be a tall task for his club.
Playing against Mercer County, they're one of the best teams in the state, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on us. We're going to have to keep our composure, take care of the basketball, and we're going to have to really get up and defend them well. They're a tremendous offensive rebounding team, so we're going to have to limit them to one shot.
This is Boyd County's first trip to the Girls' Sweet 16 since 2011. They are 26-8 on the year. 10th Region winners Clark County take on Harlan tonight at 8 p.m. Elliott County took home the 16th Region Boys Championship last night, defeating West Carter 77-71 in overtime at Johnson Arena. It is Elliott's third straight regional title and their sixth in 11 seasons, but head coach Greg Atkins says he and his guys aren't getting tired of winning them.
No, man, this is one experience that you'll never get tired of, and it's one experience that you'll never take for granted your whole life. They're so hard to come by.
Sophomore guard and tournament MVP Corbin Spencer says his goal is to make it five straight regional championships.
After you win three, you know, you want something more. You want something greater, you want something better, and that's what we're set out to do.
Elliott County will take on Collins next Thursday in the first round of the Boys State Tournament at Rupp Arena. With March Madness in full swing, expect to see a familiar name in your bracket for the first time this year.
The tournament in the first year of Northern Kentucky's eligibility to make it to the NCAA tournament. They are going dancing. They are the champions of the Horizon League.
That audio courtesy of ESPN, 24-10 Northern Kentucky University outlasted Milwaukee 59-53 last night to take home the Horizon League in Detroit. This will be the Norse's first tournament appearance since entering Division I basketball in the 2012-13 season. The Louisville basketball team is getting set for their first game of the ACC tournament tomorrow. The Cardinals will play Duke, who just defeated Clemson 79-72 in round one of the ACC tournament. Head coach Rick Pitino says his team is going to take the conference tournament one game at a time.
Just keep improving, keep getting better. This is a team that can accomplish anything because of their attitude, and we'll see what happens in the tournament. We'd like to play some of the teams that beat us.
Louisville finished the regular season at 24-7. The Kentucky basketball team has its first game of the SEC tournament Friday afternoon. The Wildcats will play the winner of tomorrow's Georgia-Tennessee game. Winners of eight straight games, Kentucky finished the regular season at 26-5, and head coach John Calipari likes where his team is compared to the rest of the teams in college basketball.
Everybody, you look at all these scores of everybody. They're one-point games, they're overtime games, this team could have lost that. Now, the teams at the top are winning those close games, but they're not burying anybody. So we're not the only team that's, you know, struggling to get away from people. Our issue is we got to start better, and we got to try to do this for 40 minutes and then see who we are.
Georgia and Tennessee play tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. The Morehead State baseball team is finishing a game with Youngstown State today that was suspended last night due to rain. At last check, the Eagles led the game 9-4 in the fifth inning. At 7-5 this season, the Eagles' bullpen has been up and down all year, but head coach Mike McGuire says he expects it to get better as the season goes on.
Finding some roles, figuring out some roles, because we really only have one experienced guy that's pitched out of the bullpen. That's Cable Wright, and obviously he's been very steady for us. Getting our freshmen, Jake Ziegelmeyer, Alex Garbrick, John Harate, Don Masullo, getting all of them acclimated as well. They're just going to get better as we get more and more experience.
The Eagles have a three-game series with Southeast Missouri starting on Thursday. The Morehead State softball team is at home this weekend for a three-game series with Radford. At 9-7 on the year, head coach David Williams says he would like to see his team's offense improve before conference play.
Well, I think one of the biggest things, I mean, whether it was this weekend or any weekend coming up, is we're going to have to continue to make adjustments at the plate depending on the pitcher we're facing. That's key. We're going to have to be able to adjust to what pitcher we're facing and make adjustments at the plate to be able to adapt and hit the ball.
Radford is 8-6 on the year. With spring practice now underway, the Kentucky football team is looking to build off of last season's 7-6 record that included the program's first bowl game appearance since 2010. Head coach Mark Stoops says it's now time for his guys to take the next step in making the program better.
It's more of the same, what I talked about last year, you know, about capacity, about doing more. And we've done that. You know, that's to be expected as we move forward, as we grow the program. You know, coming after a bowl game, we talked about all those advantages, and it's true. You know, we came back in much better shape. You know, we came back with more confidence. We picked up right where we left off, and we had a great winter.
Kentucky returned 17 of its 22 starters from last season. Some notes from around the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys plan to release quarterback Tony Romo. The team announced today that they will release the franchise's all-time leader in passing yards on Thursday. Rookie quarterback Dak Prescott took over the starting role after Romo suffered a back injury last preseason. And former New York Jets wide receiver Brandon Marshall and the New York Giants have reached an agreement on a two-year deal. The contract is worth $12 million, according to ESPN. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Southeast Missouri for three games this weekend, and softball welcomes Radford for three games on Saturday and Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
454, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Bud Luke has been keeping track of business news, and he has this report.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly lower as investors dealt with plunging oil prices and digested scorching employment data. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 69.03 at 20,855.73. The S&P 500 was down 5.41 at 2362.98. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 3.62 at 5837.55. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. U.S. crude oil prices fell over 5%, settling at $50.28 a barrel after data from the Energy Information Administration showed inventories rose by 8.2 million barrels last week. On the data front, private sector employment rose by 298,000 jobs last month, according to ADP and Moody's, well above estimates. And the report encompassed the first full month under President Donald Trump, who has pledged to rebuild the nation's aging infrastructure system. And, of course, this Friday is the all-important governmental non-farm payrolls report. And, of course, these employment reports will play into the upcoming Federal Reserve meeting later in the month of March. And, of course, market watchers are now very much expecting the Fed to move, as, according to the CME Group's Fed Watch tool, expectations for a March rate hike are now over 90%. And Treasury yields popped up following the data release earlier today, with the benchmark 10-year yield hitting its highest level since December and the 2-year note yield reaching levels not seen since 2009. In other corporate news, Caterpillar stock fell after the New York Times reported that a new government report accused the company of using improper accounting methods to boost its stock price. Overseas European stocks rose broadly, with the Pan-European Stock 600 Index advancing almost 1%. In Asia, equities closed mixed, with the Nikkei 225 falling about 0.5% and the Shanghai Composite ending nearly flat. Gold was up $4.42 today, finishing at around $1,208 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Microsoft and Home Depot, while the worst performers were Caterpillar and Chevron. In the S&P 500, the best performers were H&R Block and PPG Industries, while the worst performers were Marathon Oil and Murphy Oil. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.60 at $120.85, CSX down 79 cents at $47.65, AEP down $1.07 at $65.17, AK Steel up a penny at $7.78, Marathon Petroleum up 7 cents at $50.22, and U.S. Bancorp was down 15 cents to finish at $54.88. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyon.
Your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, lows around 40 degrees with clear skies. Thursday, sunny with highs around 68 and wind gusts up to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night, clear skies with lows dropping into the lower 40s, right around 41 degrees. Friday, partly cloudy skies with a 10% chance of rain and highs around 45 degrees. Friday night, the 10% chance of rain stays with us, with lows dropping to the lower 20s, right around 21. Saturday, cloudy with highs only reaching about 33 degrees. And Sunday will be sunny with highs only reaching about 40 degrees. Taking a look at the temperatures for the surrounding region, 61 in Ashland, 60 in Flemingsburg, 63 in Inez, 62 in Lexington, 61 in Winchester, and it is currently 61 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
That'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Kenzie Thompson, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From the Ohio News Connection, Mary Sherman, and from the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark and Haley Hansen. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Davidson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.